In the dark of night, there's a guiding light. You shine from above and make everything alright. I got my hand in the hand of the man with the guiding light.
There is the possibility of encountering rough water when moving about the
vessel. On my windowsill,
hold on to a handrail,
it's raining
steel. When going up or down stairwells.
But I know that the sun gonna shine out. I got my hand in the hand of a man with a guiding light.
I hate do's and don'ts. Why can't I just do what I want to do? Ideals of liberty and freedom resonate with everyone. For millions of European immigrants streaming into New York, this tall green woman was the first glimpse of America they had. The Statue of Liberty was originally called Liberty Enlightening the World and is modeled after Libertas, the Roman goddess of freedom. She famously carries a torch in one hand and a tablet invoking the law in the other. Inscribed on the tablet is the date of American independence, July 4, 1776. Lady Liberty has become an iconic symbol of freedom and of the United States. But this copper statue isn't freedom. She can't even grant you freedom. So what makes us free? And how do we know what real freedom looks like?
Jammed onto public transport, I often daydream about wide open spaces, being free, somewhere with no restrictions. You know, there's got to be a place out there where I can just do what I want, no one telling me what to do. Well, apparently, that paradise is not too far from here.
Thank you. Just behind me is the paradise I've been telling you about. It's just there over that railway bridge. It's called the Choshun State, and it's based on the revolutionary thought, the idea, of Juche. Juche is the ability to be able to work independently without regard for outside influences. The idea that true freedom comes from being able to determine your own destiny. In other words, no one can tell me what to do. I can set my own course and determine my own future. How inspiring is that? Who wouldn't want to be the master of their own destiny?
The foundation of liberty and freedom is the law. This library contains almost all the laws in existence. There's the United States law, laws for the state of New York, Japanese law, Australian law, European law, even international law set by the United Nations. If you just spend a few hours here in this library, you start to realise just how many laws there are that govern our lives. And it's literally thousands. Freedom is a complicated business.
Don't be fooled by these cats. Just because they look cute and cuddly doesn't mean they are. They're killers by nature.
Does a lion eat a day?
It depends on the lion. These boys that we're going to try to wake up, they've been on a bit of a diet, so they get about 4 kilos each, 5 days a week. But what they get in the zoo is a little bit different than what they get in the wild.
So how old are these boys?
These boys have just turned 5 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah, so they're about the equivalent of 18 or 19-year-olds if you want to compare them to
18.
Human boys.
Righto. Yep.
That's why they have the funny hairdos and the big attitudes. Hey, boys.
Do they kill just for the fun of it?
No, it wouldn't be worth the expenditure of energy. The only reason that these guys kill is to survive. It's not about being cold-blooded killers. It's about eating what they need to survive. By doing so, they're actually playing a very important role. Animals are very good at knowing when it's not worth spending energy on something. They'll only kill if they need to.
So, Laurel, are these guys pretty territorial in there?
They are. Males especially are territorial, and as they get older, as the testosterone kicks in, they start to get more and more territorial. These boys have an established relationship as a bachelor group, but as they get older, they start to want a bit of their own space. And in the wild, they will fight quite aggressively to defend their territory. You'll hear these lions calling throughout the day. They do a chorus of roaring, and that's an announcement to all the other lions to let the other lions know this is their bachelor pad and no one better come near here.
Deep down inside, they're a wild animal, and it'd be pretty hard to change that nature, even though you feed them on a daily basis.
Yes.
The law of the jungle is the law of power. It's kill or be killed. Survival of the fittest. Which is fine if you're the lion, not so great if you're the hunk of meat.
What would society be like if we had no laws and no police to enforce them? What if the social contract we've all entered into didn't exist? Some might say we'd be free to do whatever we wanted. Sounds great. But what if that meant I wanted to kill you? Or to take your house? It would be the law of the jungle. Kill or be killed. You could never feel safe.
Sun State is better known by its other name, North Korea. In 1953, after 5 years of conflict, the North and South agreed to disagree. The South taking the course of democracy and the North being inspired by the socialist ideas of communism. The two Koreas have been separated now for more than 50 years by this 4 kilometre wide, 250 kilometre long no man's land. Sometimes what seems like freedom isn't, and what appears to be restrictive can at times bring freedom.
Where did the law come from? Well, believe it or not, most countries base their entire legal system on just 10 simple commandments. They're sometimes called the Law of Moses. They're also known as the Royal Law. But you might simply know them as the 10 Commandments. And they guarantee freedom and protection. But with that protection, there are restrictions.
The idea of no one telling you what to do sounds great. But in reality, whether you're a country or an individual, it doesn't bring freedom or happiness.
The authority of this law is God himself. It's a reflection of his character. It's the law of his kingdom. These 10 laws provide a framework for happiness. And in this epic struggle between good and evil we find ourselves in the middle of, this law is the safe passage, a path through a dangerous environment.
Afternoon, ma'am. We will be closely observed by North Korea and monitor our tours very closely, so we remind all our visitors to be mindful of their body language at all times. So that means no pointing, no waving, no gesturing towards the KPA soldiers. So we just want to make sure you don't try to communicate with them in any way.
Thanks.
All right, if you follow me out to the conference room, please.
So I notice that there's like a raised paving in between each of those buildings. Is that significant at all?
That's actually the military demarcation line. You can see it starts over to the right, the white stakes. Mm-hmm. They mark the military demarcation line, which goes to concrete dividers. There are 17.5-inch concrete slabs. This is where the MDL is clearly defined, more than anywhere else in the DMZ. Outside the joint security area, the military demarcation line, it's strictly marked by panel markers. There's just over 1,200 panel markers. They're black and yellow. They're labeled on the south side in Hangul or Korean and English. The north side is Korean and Chinese. So in the JSA, this is where it's most obvious to separate the two forces.
Okay. So in other words, each of those buildings, to go inside, half of the building is
yes.
South Korea and half the building is North Korea.
Exactly.
Okay. And I notice the rock soldiers here standing very still. Tell me about those.
The rock soldiers that work here, they're very disciplined. When they come out to set up a security cordon for our tours, they'll stand at a modified position of Taekwondo. The rock soldiers call the stance rock ready. They also wear the dark sunglasses. You can notice that is used to present an emotionless posture towards North Korea as part of their professionalism working here in the JSA.
Okay. And I noticed two of them standing sort of half square onto the building. Why do they do that?
The two soldiers that are most forward, they're observing into North Korea just to make sure that nothing's out of the ordinary. There's no actions of North Korea that could be taken as hostile. So if anything should happen, they have the building for protection so they can better react to make sure everyone leaves here safely and securely.
Okay, which is a good thing.
Yes.
And now tell me about this building that obviously on the North Korean side.
The North Korean building, that is called the Panmunjom. That's the North Korean Visitors Welcoming Center. That's where they bring their tours in. They'll give them a short briefing the same way we do. The two-man guard post, primarily you can see the one KPA guard outside right now. And then directly to this left, the window is pulled back with another soldier with a camera. As we say, repetitively, the entire tour, we are monitored very closely by North Korea. They're both interested in who we have on tour and exactly what our tour is doing.
You mentioned a bit earlier the things we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to point. We're not allowed to wear faded jeans. What are the reasons for some of those rules?
In the past, certain people have come to the JSA and, for instance, pointing. That can be taken by North Korea as maybe we're trying to provoke them. Maybe we're saying slanderous things. If a media tour is here and we have the media to kind of, they're making gestures or pointing, they could say we're telling other countries negative things about North Korea, and they don't really take kindly to that. Also, some people, if they bring bags here, they can say they're smuggling weapons or anything like that. So okay. North Korea, they really like to point the finger about things that are done wrong in the JSA, even though it's a somewhat common occurrence for North Korea just to kind of turn a blind eye to the armistice. Yeah. So.
The demarcation line runs.
You can actually see it right here in the building. There's microphones on the center table. They are recorded and monitored 24 hours a day, as well as they represent a military demarcation line inside the MAC building. So everything on the far side of the building is technically North Korea. You're going to cross into North Korea. You are allowed to do that. The only thing I ask is you don't pass behind or in front of this rock soldier. Also, do not go any farther north than the rock soldier at that end of the building. These two soldiers, of course, they are standing at rock ready, the modified position of Taekwondo. And they are here for everyone's safety. So to maintain a situational awareness, a better understanding of what's going on around them, we ask all the visitors not to get too close to the rock soldiers. Don't touch them or interfere with their job in any way. But by all means, you can go into North Korea. That won't be a problem.
That is such a bizarre concept. To look across a room, be in a room, and be in a country, one, that you can't access. Or be in two countries at once. Most people associate freedom with not being told what to do, no one holding you back. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Make your own path, choose your own direction, go where you want to go. That sounds like freedom. When you come here, you get told, don't cross the border line, don't engage the North Koreans in any conversation, don't point, don't wear faded jeans. Now don't get me wrong, I'm free to ignore all of this advice. I could choose to go and step over that borderline over there. I don't have to do anything they've told me is safe. But if I did step across, if I went my own way, there's a pretty serious consequence. I might be free to choose to cross the line, but I might not make it back. Staying on the path that's marked as safe may seem restricting, but the consequences of stepping off it could be much worse.
This fence is the difference between life and death. It's a restriction. Now, I'm free to climb over it. And in fact, a few people in different zoos around the world have done just that. And you can imagine the consequences. In this big story of humanity being played out, we've been reminded that the devil is like a roaring lion, going around looking for people to devour. God's Ten Commandments are like this fence. In fact, the Bible refers to them as a wall around us. A lot of people have interpreted these laws in the negative, as a restriction. Don't do this, don't do that. But just look at the principles behind them.
What are the principles found in these Ten Commandments? Well, the first four are about our relationship with God. They talk about loyalty, commitment, respect, and time with God to develop our relationship with God. The last six commandments deal with our relationships with each other. They start with advice to respect our parents. Then they talk about purity, honesty, protection of life, truthfulness, and contentment. No set of laws have been more foundational to human safety and happiness than these Ten Commandments.
In fact, Jesus summarised the Ten Commandments like this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That's the first four in a nutshell. Then he continued, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's the essence of the last six. Make your life about loving God and others, and you'll be truly free. Two very concise sentences, but they capture the spirit of God's law, his blueprint to real freedom. That's why he says that all the law of the prophets hang on these two principles: love God and love others. Love your neighbour as yourself. Imagine if we actually lived by those principles.
What did Jesus think about the Ten Commandments? Did he keep them or did he get rid of them? Well, Jesus said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He also said, don't misunderstand why I've come. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. Jesus believed in the Ten Commandments, he taught them, and he kept them himself.
Lions are killers by nature. I wonder what it would take to change a lion's heart. It would have been an astounding moment to look and see this beautiful animal for sale in Harrods in London. Christian was full of personality. For Ace Burke and John Rendell, he was irresistible. After 4 months of being raised by Ace and John in their tiny London apartment, all three had formed a strong bond and Christian had become family. However, he soon outgrew the flat and Ace and John knew that the time was coming when they would have to accept London wasn't his home anymore. Ace and John contacted lion expert George Adamson, who hand-reared orphan cubs preparing them for life in the wild. George suggested they fly Christian to his reserve in Africa, where George hoped to establish a new lion pride with Christian at its heart. Ace and John were sad to leave him, but felt he was in the right place and really had a chance at being free. After a year apart from Christian, Ace and John decided it was time to return to Africa. An anxious day in George's compound followed before Ace and John walked into Christian's territory. They hadn't seen Christian in over a year. Would he remember them? Would he still accept them? What made the difference for Christian the lion, and what changed his nature, was love. Trying to keep the commandments without the love of God is impossible, and in fact you wouldn't even want to. But love is so powerful. I mean, it even changed a lion's heart.
So imagine what God's love can do to us. And that's what the law of God's all about, love. And love can change your nature. It affects your heart, and it becomes natural to do what God wants you to do. Jesus doesn't say, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
The Bible describes the Ten Commandments as the law of liberty. You see, when you love Jesus, when you trust him and keep his commandments, he gives you protection, certainty, freedom, hope, and security. It's no wonder the wisest man in the world, Solomon, said, "He that keeps the law is happy." In fact, when you think about your own life, how much happier would you be if you followed God's law? Now, I mean really followed it. If you had a strong relationship with God and you truly loved your neighbour as yourself, that's what it all comes down to, thinking of others before yourself. That's love, that's God's character. Now, imagine if everyone in your town followed God's law, and then multiply that by the population of the world, and you get an idea of just how good and relevant God's law really is for today. I don't know about you, but that's the world I'd like to live in.